Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Let us go before our Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. This is a day that the Most High has made. And welcome to Blueprint for Life. Blueprint for Life is a study dedicated to these statutes and laws and commandments that were never done away with, contrary to what these other denominations and Christian oppression, depressing churches are telling you, that try to keep you confined to just living any kind of way and in grace. No, the Father told us to go and make disciples, and a disciple is one who's disciplined, and we discipline ourselves according to the law. Of course, we are all just rehearsing the law, practicing the law. Practice makes perfect. And we know that that righteousness, that perfection can be achieved, as we talked about last week. Now, one of the surviving Hebraic Israel Levitical priests was Zacharias, or he was from that lineage of priests, and we know that his wife Elizabeth, she was of the line of Aaron also, and the book of Luke makes it clear that they were perfect, so much to the point that he allowed a greater man. Christ said, no greater man has been born of a woman like John the Baptist was. So we understand that keeping these laws is a protection, is a hedge around us. It is the giving of the wawawak. It is wisdom. It is striving for perfection. It is discipline. It should be a blueprint for your life. I'm Elder B, and I am blessed today to have just got out the water. So what does that mean? I'm down here in Seaside with my brother. I don't know what he still ain't told me what he called himself, Deacon Ray. But we just got through baptizing, and the tide was so strong, we both got baptized. But all praises to the Most High.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here with my wife, Sister Tamar. She'll be probably doing some reading for us a little bit later. We're going to say hello to the people. Say hello.
Shalom, sisters.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Grateful to be in the house that our Father built. Even though we're in a land of our captivity, we're able to keep his laws, statutes, and commandments, and walk in accordance to his will and his way. Like our elder just says, we give all thanks to Ahia. Today the heavens should rejoice. Today a lot of sins are blotted out because we are following the obedience of what the Most High says. A multitude of sins are covered up when you get baptized. You should come up as a new creature, and that's what we should strive to do, be something new in our Father's work.
So without further ado, I'm not going to cover any news topics. I want to ask for your forgiveness for not being able to get with you last week. We did not come forth with the show Heart of the Hebrew Woman and Straight No Chaser, and Most High willing, we'll do our best to get out there and get some more information to you. There's so much happening in our world. It's pretty much all around you, but what we like to do with the news topics is equate it to prophecy and show how it lines up with the book. I don't have to tell you about all the shootings, movie theater shootings, police brutality, and everything else that's going on in this world. It's very obvious. It's clear cut to see, but what we want you to understand is that, yes, we are in Jacob's trouble. We're living in that time where a lot of things are transpiring rapidly. On one hand, it's kind of exciting. On the other hand, you have to guard your heart and guard your spirit. Satan has come down having great wrath. Coming in September, they're looking to try to open up other portals with this CERN machine and tap into other dimensions. But we know the book of Revelation is talking about the abyss being opened at a certain point. Brothers and sisters, you really have to learn how to encourage yourself. But when we come together, that's important, too, because his presence is there when we come together. Father, that we was able to run into more of Israel out here in Seaside, and I'm starting to understand that many people are longing for fellowship and that it's needed, it's necessary. Don't allow anyone to keep you from fellowshipping. We won't even have these computers. We probably won't have access to the TV. So don't rely on just listening to something on YouTube. Find somebody that's close to you that you can pray with, that can pray with you, that can lay hands on you, that can put oil on you, that you all can share food, you all can share your stories. Go out your way. And sometimes just sharing your testimony will expose you to somebody else that might be in the same belief, same faith as you. They may not be as far as you are, but you can grow each other in the faith. Anything you want to add to that?
No, everything my brother said was good, and as he was talking about what the news is, even though we see our brother Shaul and Paul, one time he talked about, I know some of y'all worshiping Apollos, he pointed out different things in the world that he saw they were doing that Israel needed to stop doing. So we don't need to have no way of the heathen. The best way we can identify not having the way of the heathen, my brother said, is point out these things in the world that's actually pulling us away from this law. So we understand that today is gathered to the same way Yeshua did, went to the synagogue from the law, that was his custom. So in accordance to the Most High, his will and his way, we're going to read up the law today, fellowship and grow in the body as he self fit. So I thank you for my brother B. Thank you for Sister Tamaya that we saw fit to set this day apart as has been commanded to us, that we want to walk in the statutes, and every brother and sister that's listening, the same thing for you, shalom, and hopefully we'll be able to come to fellowship and be able to lay hands upon one another so we can grow the body.
All praises to the Most High. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into some of the reading of the law. Turn it over to my brother with the reading of the law.
Leviticus up to?
Leviticus chapter 2. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. Verse number 2. And he shall bring it to Aaron's son, the priest, and he shall take thereof, of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Verse 3. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's son. It is the thing most holy of the offering of the Lord made by fire. Verse 4. If thou bring an oblation of the meat offering, baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour, mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. Verse 5. And if the oblation of a meat offering, baked in the oven, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. Verse 6. Thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. Verse 7. And if there be an oblation, which oblation be a meat offering, baked in the fine pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. Verse 8. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord, and when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it up to the altar. Verse 9. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it from the altar. It is an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. 10. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron and his son. It is a thing most holy of the offering of the Lord made by fire. Verse 11. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Verse 12. And for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet taste. Verse 13. In every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God by lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Verse 14. And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruit unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruit green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of whole ears, 15, And thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereof. It is a meat offering. Verse 16, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
That was in Leviticus chapter 2, the reading of the law. And as we go into law, one of the things they did in Moses' seat while the law was being read, they didn't speak. Right now we're going to go over the law and talk about some of the things that Most High was bringing to understanding for Israel. And it's going to be the same understanding when we have the law today. We're quick to go with talking about how the sacrifices were done away with. But I want you to understand that you are now that living sacrifice. You are now the sacrifice that the Ahai has adorned, ordained from the beginning of time. Yeshua taught you how to be that sacrifice. And it was also prophesied for you to be that sacrifice for the Most High. We're going to look at Daniel 9:27. And it tells you in Daniel 9:27 that the covenant was going to be confirmed. And during the midst of the week, Yeshua is going to be cut off, and all the sacrifices and oblations will cease. So right here, we understand what the sacrifices is and the oblation. And when he confirmed that covenant, we're talking that with Israel. We're talking that with our brothers and sisters. And no longer is a sheep, meat, all those things put up on your behalf. Now it's yourself. Now you're presenting yourself, your temple, your body, what we call a church. You're presenting that in front of the Most High and saying, this is what I'm offering up. When I have this sin, just like we've seen Paul write in his letter, he's fighting with these spirits that kept him. I'm offering this up so you can take this away from me. The oblation of how the flour is, the unleavened. We still look at these things as what? First, the Passover. We do the Passover in direct time, in accordance, because that's how the Father ordained it. He also tells us about first fruit. First fruit is the same thing that he had when he was the first fruits of the dead on our behalf. We look at Colossians chapter 2, going down to verse 14. He says that those things are a shadow of something good to come. All those things that they were doing back then is a pure shadow of what we do today for something that's better than when Yeshua comes back, because we'll be doing it with him on his appointed time, on his clock, on his schedule. We also see, and I'll read this one for you, in Romans chapter 12, one of my favorite verses. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of Ahia, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we see right there that that's how you're supposed to present yourself, but we're quick to say, okay, because the sacrificial law is done away with, we don't have any more sacrifices. No, you're presenting yourself on Passover, days of unleavened bread. The same way that he taught you in that sacrificial law, let there be no leaven. There should be no leaven inside your sacrifice. That means yourself. That means when you read this word, you're living in this word, you got to learn how to remove that leaven. That's why from year after year, you're supposed to be looking at what leaven has creeped into your life, what's creeped into your marriage, what's creeped into you with your kids. We remove all leaven that's going to be in the sacrifice that we give to the Most High, the same way that he taught you to do it back then with the animals, the same way he presents yourself now. You remove all leaven out of his life. You look at, is it the internet has brought that leaven inside your house, your marriage? You look at, is it alcohol, these other beasts, things that change your spirit and your mind, that put that leaven inside you? Is it the doctrine of men that has confused you from walking in the spirit of the Most High? You remove that leaven out your life. You remove that leaven in that sacrifice that you're bringing to the Most High. You pray for him on your hands, your knees, your hands lifted up for him and say, hey, I'm going to walk in your statutes and commandments
and he will take us from the rest of the way. He will remove that so he can be close to you. That's the reason why we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We're in the Roman letter, chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto a higher, which is a reasonable service. So you presenting yourself as a living sacrifice is only a reasonable service. It's not a reasonable service for you to put a lamb as your sacrifice no more, because Yeshua is the one that did it for you. Now the reasonable service for you to say, Yeshua, you did it for me. Yeshua, you kept the Sabbath day. Yeshua, you kept the dietary law. Now it's a reasonable service for me to present myself as that same sacrifice that he did for you. No longer do we need to have a lamb. No longer we need to go to the Aaron and the Levitical priesthood, because now we have to the order of Melchizedek. And our high priest, the head of our temple, is Yeshua. So we're presenting this sacrifice that we're doing directly to Yeshua now. He is the high priest that's adorned in our walk that we're doing today. So when we look at Levitical law, when we look at verses 1 in Leviticus, in chapter 1, excuse me, in chapter 2, 3, and 4, and it's all building on what the sacrifice is. Again, it's also pointing out what sin there is. So when you look at these different sins that they're talking about, they made these sacrifices for, you also look at these spirits that it's talking about, these, the spirit of error, spirit of fornication, lasciviousness, all these things they were making sacrifice for, and they brought these to the high priest. Now we bring them to Yeshua. We learn what they did back then. He gave us a reason why we can get out these spirits, get these things out of our lives. So we learn from the sacrificial law so we can learn how to be that sacrifice. So don't let them confuse you when they say the sacrificial law is done away with. Brothers and sisters, it's just more and improved inside of you. He brought you a better understanding when he went on a mountain olive to tell you that you are now that sacrifice. The things you look at, the things you speak of, is the same things that's going to bring you sin before you start doing it. It's not me sleeping with a woman. That's just a physical act of me sinning. It's me looking at another woman, desire, that's giving me adultery in my heart and in my spirit before I even commit the act. It's not me breaking the Sabbath day, not keeping the commandment. It's me planning on breaking the Sabbath day before you even get. So remember to present yourself as a sacrifice to the Father. That's only a reasonable service for you. How about you, Brother?
Absolutely. I'm in complete agreement. And I think what we don't realize is the importance of what you're stressing about the internet, TV. We can over inundate ourselves with external communications, things on the outside that our spirit is picking up on, and we don't know that it's taking root inside of our spirit. So we are actually overloading with too much TV. I don't care what type of TV it is, because what people don't realize is that they're sending subliminal messages through all kinds of TV, cartoons, comedy, everything about lust, about sex, about obeying the government, or go eat this, go put this in your body. It's coming through every type of programming, and we can't, our regular psyches don't pick up on it. But it comes down to you saying that we got to be holy. That Hebrew word is kodesh. Kodesh is set apart. How do we set ourselves apart? Back to Blueprint for Life. So how do we become holy? By keeping the commandments, by keeping the Sabbath, by mainly doing like the word tells us, come out of her, my people. The process of coming out of her is a sacrifice within itself. That's presenting your body a living sacrifice, saying, I'm not going to do what my neighbors are doing or my coworkers are doing or what my girlfriends are doing that I used to hang and run with. I'm about to present my body a living sacrifice. And when he says it's a reasonable service, you know what he's saying? That's the least you could do. After all that Yeshua did for us, that's the least you could do. He really presented his body as a living sacrifice. Now, since we're saying we want to be like him, we're supposed to die daily to the flesh. So is this going to happen overnight? No. But daily, like you're talking about, we got to crucify the parts of our flesh, our members of the flesh. We got to learn how to crucify our lust for money, our lust for fame, our lust for physical touch. outside of the confines of marriage. Because the Father said it should be marriage. Israel, we're supposed to be coming together in marriage, and it's there to help you overcome your lies. This is why they even told an elder or a bishop should be the husband of one wife. Because while you're doing the work of the Father, you don't need to be worried about your loins and what's going on with your loins. You know, I don't even know why I'm getting into that, but I'm saying that. But he said, gird your loins with truth. You know, and most brothers don't gird their loins with truth because they always lying about what they did, what they thought about, and what they want to do. But I'm getting back down into how lust. And so let me go to the second part. Be not conformed to this world. That's pretty much what I'm saying. So if you keep inundating yourself, let me just put it to you like this. If you're getting more TV than you're getting word throughout the week, you're going to be like the world. And verse 2 said, be not conformed to this world. If you let an outside programming get a hold of your soul, your spirit, more than you're reading these commandments, these statutes, laws in this word, you're not being transformed. Your mind is not being renewed. Your mind has to be renewed. You are no longer in possession of your own self. The Most High owns the lease. You no longer have your own mind. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua, Christ. And that comes through transforming and regenerating your mind through reading this word. I'm going to tell you, when I first started waking up to this truth, I couldn't stop getting lessons, studying lessons. And then there's times that the Father would say, turn off the videos, don't get no external teaching, just read the word and allow the walk to explain it to you. So you got to be seasoned enough to listen to the wild and walk and what it's telling you. They that's going to follow after Christ have to follow after the Spirit. You've got to worship him in spirit and truth. Let's finish verse number 2. When it says, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, and once again, perfect will of Ahayah. Perfect. Now, we're not going to go all into 12. I just wanted to finish that out. The least you can do is keep the commandments and give up the fleshly desires that are wrestling against your spirit every day. Greater is that is in you than anything in the world. Which is why he said, come out from amongst us.
I was going to read the verse 2 after my brother was talking, but he the spirit, you know, it's funny. It lets you line up with things, lets you line up with precepts. So everything he said before he started with verse 2 is the same thing. It says, when he started verse 1, it talks about you being that sacrifice. And if you are that sacrifice, you'll be transformed by a renewing of your mind. So don't think of the sacrificial law as being done away. Don't think of the high days, holy days as being done away with. Don't think of the Sabbath day as being done away with. Don't think of these commandments as being passed from our forefathers and now there's something only Yeshua does. We have to remember that the law was not done away with, not one jot, not one tittle. And the only way that you can be transformed and become a new creature, as it's talking about, is turn back to the law. Turn back to the law of truth. Turn back to the spirit of truth. And all of those things are pointing to you to be like Yeshua. That's being the same as him. With that, I'm going to pass it on to our brother, our elder B. He's going to lead us into the next part of our lesson.
Well, this law is getting pretty good, and I just wanted to say, back to the law, I was looking for, you already looked for a scripture. Ye are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And the more you get this word inside you, you will change, and you'll find yourself changing. There's a scripture that talks about, let me see if I can find it real quick. The Ruach, the Wawruach, brings all things to remembrance, but what the Wawruach works with is the word. So that's what it brings to remembrance. So you'll read this word and you'll try to memorize it, but know that the Holy Spirit, Wawruach, is here to work with you to help you memorize the word, because when you need certain scriptures, the Wawruach will bring it to remembrance. If you don't have any scripture in you, you're not giving the Holy Spirit anything to work with. Furthermore, let me see if I can get this in Job 33:16. When I read this scripture, amazed me at what happens, the importance of getting this word in and having peace of mind. Did I say Job 33:16?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Make sure I got the right one. Yeah, that's it. Listen, Job 33:15, start there.
Book of Job, chapter 33, verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, and slumbering upon the bed, then he opened up the ears of men, he filleth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purposes and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword.
You don't even realize that he puts you in a deep sleep at night. And if you really look at what the Most High says he does, is he keepeth you, verse 15. It says, when you fall into a deep sleep, 16 says, he opens your ears and sealeth up instruction inside of you while you're sleeping, giving you instructions that you're not even aware of in your dream. And he's doing all of this so that he can keep you from doing things that your body would do, your flesh would do. The you that before you got transformed, and that comes through exposing yourself to the word. He's hiding your pride, and he's keeping your soul from the pit. When he talks about the pit, he's talking about the pit of hell. That's why your sleep should be refreshing. This is why the enemy tries to come and rob, kill, and destroy, and take your peace of mind. So you've got to have peace. And he said, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. You can't worry about your job. I'm sorry, I'm turning into be the preacher. I'm preaching. Can't worry about your job. Can't worry about your mate. You can't worry about the money. You can't worry about the bills. He said, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. How did, I believe it was, it may have been Peter, or I'm not sure if it was Paul, but he said, what sort of things are lovely and a good report? Think on these things. So even the meditation is important. David said, King Dawid said, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. See, all of these are parameters for you to keep your sanity in this insane world. Because if you watch the news, you'd be scared to go outside the door, let alone go to the movies or something, because this world has gone insane. So Satan has come to rob you of your sanity and your peace. But the Most High said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and don't forget the last part, a sound mind. If you're a little loco these days and you're not operating with the Most High, you're not getting this word inside of you, and you're not allowing him to seal up instruction in your spirit at night. So all praises to the Most High, brothers and sisters. This is a serious walk we're in, and we want to see you make it. We're in Jacob's trouble, but, hey, I'm trying to be that one-third of Israel, and I know it takes me sacrificing and coming out of this world, separating myself from the desires of this world if we want to make it. So, go ahead.
One of the things my brother said, again, going back to Job 33, verse 15 and 16. We have one of our sisters here that's young and needs to get in the faith, but she gave us a little testimony last night talking about in a dream that came to her. Even though you watch the TV, all the Planned Parenthood videos, all the abortions, all the stuff, she said that the Most High told her not to have her child aborted, not to have that be done.
showed her the image of that baby, and now that baby's 15 years later. But the only way, the same thing we're reading, that you could be transformed and renewed and become a new creature is from his word and his law. See, it wasn't any man or anything else that put it towards that woman's spirit. You got to understand, during the middle of the night, the Most High can reach out and touch you and teach you. But if you're in the world, if you're not resting, if you're not following what the Most High wants you to do, you'll always be lost. That's the reason why they have all these images of cigarettes and all these images of abortion, all these images of you defiling your temple in your subconscious, in your vision, so you can refer back to that versus referring back to the lost. So, brothers and sisters, you have to stay in the Word so you can receive what the Ruach, talking about the Spirit, is trying to lead you in. And if you don't reach out to other brothers and sisters, if you don't go to places where we can pray for one another, lay hands on one another, teach each other the law, so we can stay out the way of Jacob's troubles in these last days, we're going to fall off in the ditch. But it's a good reading of Job 33, 15, and 16. And we got to remember, keep reading this word, and he'll bring everything to remembrance that you need to have in your daily first day to the sixth day of the week.
When we come back, we're going to go to the book of Malachi. We put down Malachi 1, 2, and 3, but I think we'll just cover Malachi, the first chapter. Take a small. We did Malachi, the fourth chapter, last week. And so this week we'll go into Malachi, the first chapter. We'll be right back. Be right back after this.
Yeah, you know, send them out to Wagwan. Yo, just hold firm, you know. Keep moving. Hold your head up, you know. Hey, yo. Wake up in the morning, say a little thing to God. Him bless me, there's food in my cupboard. Remembering the days when time well hot, me belly hungry, and me couldn't find a regular job. Feel like me can't move, me trap in a cage. Still searching for the words to put on the page. Still dreaming about the day when me step on the stage. But nothing now come, that's when me better say. You have to keep moving, stand on, stand on. Yeah, I. No matter what's going on, you know I say you have to shut down. Yeah, I. You have to keep moving, stand on, stand on, stand on. Yeah, when me say, Emily, she could have tell no sad story. I'm an abuser, I'm gonna beat her up badly. So, I could have watched it brightly. Her hope fading quick, I'm starting a family. One day she decides she can't take it no more. She follows, cries, go down on the floor. That's when she takes the razor. Telephone ring, somebody on the other line, I tell her say.
Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life. Elder D, Brother Ray, in his home in Seaside, California. We're in a remote location today. And here's Sister Ma, just going through some of the laws. So, Shabbat shalom, Barak Asah. It's our prayer that you are indeed victorious. Better know that. Victorious and got your head up. We are definitely praying for all Hebrew Israelites scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. Those that are awakened, those that are about to be awakened before it's all over, praying for you, holding you up. We do need one another. Without further ado, we are going into the book of Malachi, the first chapter, getting to these precepts.
Malachi, chapter 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Verse 2. I have loved you, said the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not
Hey, on the first part, you can start off with, again, I just love the word so much. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. And again, we got to understand his word is not a burden. His word is what's actually going to give you deliverance, will give you salvation. So the world will actually go about teaching you how keeping that law and his commandments is a burden, that keeping the Father's will and his way is what's going to set you different, like keeping the Sabbath day, keeping all these things. But he didn't teach you his word is a burden. He taught you that his word will actually change you and keep you safe. I see that in Matthew, and I can't think of what scripture where he says his word is not a burden, but it's to salvation. We're going to find that as our sister's reading. But to Israel is the word that was given to us. To Israel, that everything was ordained to us in the beginning of time. So when he's reading this stuff to Malachi, and Malachi's bringing it on to you, and when he tells you that he loved you, that means that everything that was made in this planet was made for us, was made for Israel. Every herb, every seed, every animal, the oceans. And the best thing that we could do, brothers and sisters, is love him and keep his commandments, because that's how we show that we love him. That'll be the first four commandments of how you show you love Ahiah. And the next six commandments of how you show you love each other. But that's what he's talking about in the very beginning. And so you can understand when he's talking about his word, is the word he gave unto Israel through Malachi.
Malachi 1, verse 2. I have loved you, said the Lord, yet ye say, wherein has thy loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, said the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness.
So we understand the precept. A lot of people have a problem with that, and they don't believe that the Father actually said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And you look at Obadiah 1 and 10. Let me give you a precept for that. It said, For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, he's talking to Esau. He said, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. There's a lot of people that have problems with that because they're trying to identify Esau in the earth. But he made it clear in Obadiah 1 and 10 that Esau would be cut off forever. You tell me what forever is. Huh? Well, space of time. Forever is forever. Just like he identified us in Deuteronomy the 20th chapter and said that these curses would be upon them as a sign. Forever. So it's easy to identify Jacob because of the curses that are on us right now. And that's what I like about this right now, is that having this truth, having these precepts and this knowledge are answers for the world today. Black folks upset. Young lady getting killed in prison, being dragged, hog-tied. Sisters, my sisters, I need y'all to be careful because they're coming after the sisters now. They thought they were just going to be shooting young men down the streets. Now they're coming after our sisters. No respect whatsoever. It's been happening when you saw a police officer throwing haymakers at a woman's face, just throwing left hooks, right hooks at our sisters. And they're not even built like us, and you sitting up here throwing shots at them. We are hated by other races. And I'm just going to say it. The Bible equates nations. Nations became racist. Let's not forget that when Jacob and Esau were in the womb, they were identified as two nations. The angel prophesied and said, in your belly are two nations. What does that mean? Two different races. And we're reading now in Obadiah 1 and 10 that they would be cursed forever. But let's read the rest of this chapter where it says what they will try to do in Malachi.
Malachi chapter 1, verse 4. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return
and build the desolate places.
This is their time. They built their cities. They built their buildings. They've got their bridges. They've got their infrastructure. But go ahead.
Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down.
Oh, I love that scripture. That sounds like a brother for real right there, huh? They let them go ahead and build. Watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw down. And we know the day of the Most High is coming where he is going to throw down. All of this is not going to last. Esau's kingdom right now, his little Disneyland, is not going to last. Do you realize that these people are living their dream right now? They are in their kingdom, their paradise, because they have tried to come out of this curse. But this curse, as we just read in Obadiah 1 and 10, will be on them forever. You need to understand that these Edomites, Esau, is sensing that they're running out of time, that something is happening in our atmosphere, in our earth, in this world. And everybody's bothered right now. And this is what, and even inside yourself, ask yourself, are you sensing a change in the atmosphere spiritually? What makes you think that these other nations aren't sensing that something is switching, being transformed, something's changing, something's getting ready to happen? And everything is telling us, everything around us, all of creation is moaning and groaning. The earth is sick because of what Esau has done to this earth. The destruction of this earth, the disrespect of this earth that was originally created for Jacob. There's a transformation taking place. Go ahead.
I'm going to jump in on one thing. When he started off in Malachi 1, going all the way down to our brother says, you got to remember, when you jump from line to line, or when these people take one thing out of context, you got to remember they're writing everything in this order that it was supposed to be written out for you to understand. And we'll find precept upon line upon line,
right,
little there, here, there, and little, to understand what the Father is talking about.
Right.
But when we go to, we're in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. And at that time, Yeshua answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And what Malachi said in the beginning was that was revealed to him from what? Yeshua. The same way that Brother D was talking about the things they're going to build up, he will knock down. But he said he gave him his burden. And I want you to understand what he's talking about when he gave him his burden is what we need to understand. I'm going to go down to verse 28. When he tells you the same way that he gave to Brother Malachi, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when he talked about he's going to put his burden upon you, it's different from the burden we're talking about the world is going to stress upon you right there. The same way that our brother was just talking about, he's going to knock down everything that's actually a captivity for you. All these grocery stores, all these markets, all these things are feeding you poison inside your body. You take on his burden, you take on his word, that's when your body will be changed. That's the reason why you won't have these cancers and all these diseases, all these things, this pharmacology that's running around rampant in this world. We got to take on his word the same way that he gave that unto Malachi. And everything that we're reading right now was just like we're babes receiving it, as he said. So when we read the rest of what he's going to do to Esau and the reason why there's a difference between Jacob and what went on with him, we got to understand and put that in its context because he was revealing that to not only, as they call, quote-unquote, like to say, the Old Testament people, but he revealed the same word to the New Testament people.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I don't know why they... people so quick to want to separate Old Testament, New Testament. There is a new covenant, but that's deception of the enemy to get people to believe, oh, yeah, the Old Covenant. The entire Old Testament is done away with the Old Covenant. It's all about this new covenant, brother. But the scripture tells us, if the foundation be destroyed, what then can the righteous do? So you cannot get rid of the foundation. That's like somebody going to college and saying, I don't need none of that stuff I learned in high school, junior high school, or elementary school. That's utterly insane. That's ridiculous. It's the foundation that builds you up. So it can't be destroyed. But I wanted to go back to what we skipped over because we read Obadiah 1 and 10. Can you go back to verse 4? We ran through it. He said, they shall build up, but I will throw down, because I got stuck on that. But listen to this. He said, and they shall call them the border of wickedness. They are the border of wickedness, the people against whom the Most High indignation forever. I'm going to say it again. What part of forever you don't understand? Esau, the Most High has indignation with them forever. There is no we are the world. And what you learned as a child, God so loved the world. You have to understand that when they say world, they're talking about a microcosm. Look at the actual definition for world. World means a group of people, a section, a microcosm. It is not the way you see the world now. It is not like that. That's why he said come out of the world. He's not going to say I love the world and tell you to come out of the world and say he hates the world. Oh, that we should hate the world because they hated me and they're going to hate you. You have to understand wordplay and how things are used through these precepts. So these signs are forever. When Most High says forever, he means forever. Is there something you want to add?
Yeah, because I wanted to correct my elder because he said there is a new covenant, how there is not a new covenant. We're going to read how he made a new covenant. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 31, 32, because this is a correction, right? Because everybody's going to tell you about the new covenant is only made now. We have a new covenant. So we're going to listen to what Jeremiah says first, and then we're going to go to Hebrew. Now, according to the covenant that was made with your fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. So I shall be a covenant, and I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. And I will put my law in their inward parts, write them in their hearts, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. So that's Jeremiah talking about a new covenant that we under, right?
Yeah.
And as my elder said a second ago, we're looking that we don't have no new covenant anymore, like the covenant is something so much different. Now we're going to read what most people think is Shaul or Paul, but the Hebrew writer, we're going to look at Hebrew chapter 8, verse 9. Now, according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day, and I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I made with the house of Israel. I'm sorry, brother, who he made the covenant with?
Israel.
He made a covenant with who? But there is no new covenant with the house of Israel. We're going to keep reading because this is New Testament Christians, right? This is New Testament. But this is a covenant that I made with the house of Israel. Not Christianity, not Muslims, not nobody else. New Testament, the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their what? Their mind. I will write them in their hearts, and I shall be unto them Ahaya. I am that I am, and they shall be a people to me. The same thing that Jeremiah wrote in the 31st chapter is the same thing the Hebrew writer is writing here. So, as I was jokingly, when I was talking about saying I had to correct my elder, what he's telling you, and if you don't understand, the covenant was only made with Israel. It was never made with anybody else. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know, we are Israel. We're in the land of our captivity, the same way Yeshua said. Same way that he said he's going to knock all this stuff down. We're looking at Malachi. We got to come back to the same covenant he made with our forefathers they couldn't keep, and a lot of us can't keep today. We are underneath the covenant with Israel that Yeshua made with us in those days, and where our law is supposed to be written in our heart and our mind. So my brother is saying that the law was never done away with, that we are still underneath that same, what we just read, yoke. And his yoke is not a burden to us. That's what we need to walk into. The only way we're going to survive in the last days and the things that we're talking about, that he's talking about is going to be coming forth to us in all of Malachi, is turning back to his will and his way and understanding the covenant he made with our forefathers is the covenant we're supposed to be walking with. That they call it, what day is this? July 20-something, 2015. So that's the covenant we under today. And the next day you come by 24th, 25th, and so on be it. That's the covenant you under, House of Israel. The covenant we read in Jeremiah and the covenant you read in just Hebrew.
Yes, that's just total deception and confusion to make people think, oh, yeah, the Old Testament's done away with. You don't need it. Just read the New Testament. I've heard Christians say that. Just read the New Testament. And then again, let me say this. But you Old Testament people that say, I only read the Old Testament and I don't want to read them letters, and you don't accept Christ. Well, you're not accepted as part of Israel either until you accept Christ. So you got to see all the confusion that is in this world and the deception that is there. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. And there's 100 books they took out. But he said, I'm in the volume of the whole book. So you have to understand that in the beginning was the Word, and he is the Word. And also, you have to understand that this is a history book. Don't let no religion or denomination come at you as making this some type of religious artifact that somebody can beat you over the head with and twist scripture. This is the documentation of the sojourn of a people and their history. Also happens to be the most prophetic book in the world, where over 2,000 prophecies have been fulfilled. And something is being fulfilled right now.
Yes.
No other book in the world, not the Quran, not the Book of the Dead, not the what's that book, that extra book that the Jehovah Witnesses got? They got an extra book. All these denominations got extra books to try to solidify the madness that they teach you. But everything is in the volume of the book.
And for anybody to understand, just like you see in 1 Samuel 18, as well we see in Joel, they'll tell you as it was written in the Book of Jasher. If you talk to somebody, if I were to talk to a Christian brother or even some people that's in Israel, and I told them that it was written in the Book of Jasher, they could look through the Bible left and right and they'll never see the Book of Jasher. If the prophets were pointing you back to that, why wouldn't you want to learn what the prophets were given to? The same way we read in Malachi, was given to them from the Father. Now, I understand that we don't get the point that when you read the Bible, the 66 books we look at, the Pope and the Catholic Church, what do they call this thing? This is what they put together. This is not ordained, but it's what they canonize.
Yes.
This is what they canonize for you to read. If you go back to the King James Version, is it 1612?
Mm-hmm.
They took out all the books that were in the Apocrypha because they said those don't need to be canonized anymore. You don't need to read them. So what you got to understand is you're letting the Vatican and the Pope dictate what you're reading. Or are you going to lean on the Spirit to guide you in all truth and lead you into these words? So when my brother talks about he came in the volume of the book and all these books, you have to, as he tells you, say to show yourself approved. The same way you can see Easter, I think it's in Acts 12. They inject that in there to create confusion. You'll see that no matter where you go. That's the reason why we have to lean on the Ruach, we'll lean on the Spirit to lead us into all truth when it comes into this work. And everything comes from the Father. So if you see anything, I don't care if it's from your mama, your grandpapa, your daddy, from one of us, from any person that's in another organization telling you something that's going to lead you unto death, that's not coming from the Father. But we lean on the Word and the Spirit and these things.
Go ahead, Malachi
chapter 1, verse 5. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?
I don't think like my brother said, we probably won't get all the way to Malachi. He's going to have to do it once. He talks about despising his name. We'll call them on every name, Jehovah, Jesus, all these other names, but we won't go back to the same name that he gave us, I am that I am, we see in Exodus chapter 3. One of the best things that we have to understand that his word will lead us into all truth. His word is going to lead us to walking in the commandments and his laws and the statutes. You want to say anything, brother?
No, go ahead. I was just looking at the sets of borders that she just read about. Esau is the border of wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5 says, the height will be magnified.
Yes.
The border of Israel, let the lines be drawn. Go ahead.
Malachi 1, verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Verse 8. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil?
So, again, the same thing we read a minute ago. The covenant was only made with who? Israel. And he'll be magnified from the borders of Israel. So everybody in the land of our captivity, if we Israel, we're supposed to be magnifying this work. We read in Deuteronomy 14, when we went back into the law, talking about, again, sacrifices, and again, when we're looking at tithing. He says, can you bring evil, an offer of a lame and a sick, is that not evil? When they were giving their tithes to the Levitical priesthood, again, we look in Deuteronomy 14, they're supposed to bring the best of their flock. They're supposed to bring the best in Levitical priesthood, and from there, they're supposed to take out the best and give it to the holies of the holies, the guys that went inside of that priesthood. So we are not supposed to bring foul and contemptible things in front of the Most High. That's the reason why it's a joke when we say there is no more sacrifice. So how am I going to bring myself all broken down, full of drugs, full of pharmakia, full of lust in front of the Most High and say, this is my sacrifice. This is an abomination. Would you bring that evil in front of the Most High? That's the reason why we don't understand that we can be separated from the Most High if we're not going to go back to these laws. Because what you're bringing to him is an abomination to him. Your life, your thoughts, your passions, it's the same way that you bring your tithe to the Father. It's supposed to be a reasonable service for it to be holy and pleasant and a savoring smell, savoring fragrance to the Most High. That's the reason why we read the law, and that's the reason why those things that they're talking about, what we call the new covenant, the new thing, are pointing back the same things we read from the law. And this is what Malachi is talking about right here. What are you going to bring for sacrifice in front of the Most High? Are you going to bring down something that's already defiled and lame and sick? And he asks you a question, simple. Is it evil? And that's a simple question if you know what the law is and everything that Paul and the other Peter and James are writing about.
I think it's very serious. We shouldn't be going to a high holy day, a high feast. And to be an example, like my brother just said, you come to the high holy day on the next day of the Passover, and you got a hangover. Now, you drunk. Now, I'm not against anybody drinking wine, or if you drink your strong drink in moderation, but there were laws given to us to not come to the temple with a hangover or to be drunk. How dare you come into the Shabbat and haven't even, you always wake up and you take a shower. You shower yourself to get prepared to go. How come you can't get yourself come before the Most High with some form of sanctification and being kodesh and being set apart by cleansing your spirit, your heart, your mind, your attitude, your thoughts, your worries, your troubles, ridding yourself on that and setting your affection on things above and setting your mind on the Most High? How dare you come to a high holy day Shabbat service? Now, we have repentance. But would you just get up out of the bed of fornication and then run to an assembly like that and treat the Most High like that with no respect? No, you know, like what you just did was nothing? Now, you do have repentance, but who would do that? Now, you wouldn't do that because you know that you don't want to present yourself to the Most High like that. Did you know we're not even supposed to say his sacred name while we're in sin?
Yes.
breaking the law. You're just going to just throw the name out. Hiya Bahashem Yeshaya, my brother, and you just knowing you in fornication, knowing you in adultery. You bring up a good point. Are we going to get through Malachi, the first chapter?
Malachi 1, chapter 1, verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 9. And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Verse 10. Who is there even among you that will shut the door for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept any offering at your hand. Verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles.
The Goyim.
And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 12. And ye have profaned it, and that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible.
Stop right there. He says that even his name should be great among the Gentiles. And you see all these Gentiles calling on the name of Jesus. Seeing the word, reading the same word that we read, but they call him on Jesus. And he go all the way down saying, but ye have profaned it, even that you say the table of the Lord is polluted. And the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. All these people trying to keep the word, they won't keep the name that we understand from the beginning. Okay, even if you're in confusion, all the offerings and things that you're supposed to bring to the Most High are still supposed to be following by the word. But they're not following these things by the word. It's the same ones that send these Christian churches, the same ones that say don't keep the Sabbath day. They say we believe in the same person that you believe in the book, but they bring profane things to the word. The things that he tells you to keep, they follow the customs and the traditions of the Gentiles. They try to mix the clean with the unclean. The Father told us to set aside the Sabbath day. The Father told us to set aside the Passover, days of unleavened bread, first fruits, trumpets, tabernacles. They tell you don't keep those days. Keep Christmas, Easter, Lent, and all these other unholy days that the Gentiles are bringing in. We're not supposed to profane the Father's name. We're supposed to bring, again, we're Israel. He's supposed to be able to see us. The same thing we read in Malachi just a second ago. On the borders of Israel, he's supposed to be able to see our faith in this earth. A shadow of these good things to come that we were always reading about earlier from the law, he's supposed to be able to see these things to come. But we don't see them here. We have to turn back to his will and his way. That's why the reading of the law is so important, so we can put these things in remembrance and put them in our spirit.
And we read this precept in Isaiah about that, about the Gentiles and the Goyim. This is a future prophecy for Zion, which is Israel. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Ahiah is upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. That's the day of the Lord that you hear talking about all throughout scriptures. When that day comes, it's going to be a dark day, so much as so he told us not to even pray for it, even though we can't wait to go into the kingdom. He said it's going to be a lot of bloodshed, a lot of death, a lot of murder. And because in order for him to throw down, let's think about it, we just read that. That means there will be no power grid, no electrical system, no plumbing system the way Esau's got it set up. He's about to erase all of this, which is why we'll be in the wilderness. He's going to take us back. We're not going to be like cavemen. I believe that Most High's got technology too. But he's going to erase what Esau and Satan built up through Satan's technology. And I love, you and I was talking about this. There's a verse, we got to find it, in the book of Enoch, where the Most High is pretty much, and I'm paraphrasing, laughing because he said, all that stuff that the fallen angels taught them women, he said, that wasn't nothing. That was only like about a smidgen of the information that I have and what I know. He said they ain't taught them nothing. Doesn't even come close to the thoughts and knowledge that I have. But nevertheless, it's going to be a dark day. Isaiah 60:2, the future prophecy says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness shall cover the people. But the Most High, our power, shall arise on Israel. While it's all dark, the power is going to rise. We're going to be so illuminated, we're going to be lighting up the earth during the dark time. And listen to what he says is going to happen. And his glory shall be seen upon thee. Does anybody remember what happened to Moses when he was in his presence? People said, please cover your face. We can't bear the light. We can't stand it. We can't take it. He's been with a higher. He's been on that mountain again because he's shining like a street light or something. Like the sun when it first comes up. Listen to verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light and king to the brightness of thy rising. Those that are alive that still remain, because he's going to leave some for a witness to see who Israel is. Because as the bird says, they're going to say, surely these were the children of the Most High. The ones we persecuted, shot down in the streets, criticized, talked about, called all kind of racial slurs and different names and bywords. I won't say it today. You know, I say that word all the time.
I want to say one more thing that our brother was just talking about. We look at the times that we're living in right now. We can look at the TV. We see Israel being killed like dogs on the street. Just think about on, what do they call that, Black Friday or something like that?
After Thanksgiving.
Yeah, after Thanksgiving. How all these fools and these Gentiles, you see Israel doing the same madness with them, rushing to all these stores to buy this. As my brother was just teaching, these grids, all these things we have is going to come to naught. They're going to be destroyed. Imagine how they're going to treat Israel when they can't get their own water and they can't get all these foods. Imagine we getting killed for not having cigarettes and going to these parties. Imagine when you say you got the same right as this evil nation has upon you about getting the same amount of food. The same, they're going to call you all sorts of names. They're going to call you every byword they can think of. And you're not going to be able to get half these things. But that's the reason why they keep us so separate, Israel. That's the same reason why they keep you locked up in projects where you can't move from 10 blocks when you're in these big major cities. And that's the same reason why in the places that we in, like California and all these other places, when they teach us, we don't have to come together. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves, because the only way we're going to get past this stuff and move on as one another when they're trying to come across us, as the Most High is preaching this out to us right now, is by being united and coming together. We got to be able, for the ones that do see it, be able to prophesy through these valley of dead bones so we can actually unite as a people and come together. We've got to stop being so spread out and learn how to migrate by one near one of each other so we can keep these commandments.
We are the valley of dry bones. We're dead without the commandments. The book of Baruch, the 4th chapter, says, this is the book of the commandments of Ahayah and the law that endureth forever, and all they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die. The reason the book of Baruch said you will come to life, because we are the walking dead without these commandments, without understanding this law. But when you come to the law, your spirit is quickened. It says that you come to life. It actually says that you come to life. Like Frankenstein on Dr. Frankenstein's slab. You come to life. You get shocked. You get quickened. You come to life. You know how powerful that is? Keeping the commandments brings you to life. I want you to keep that in mind as you walk by your brothers and sisters in this life and realize that you're walking by the dead, sleeping dead. You're walking by a real zombie if they're not keeping these commandments. If they're going to Sunday church, they're eating that pork, eating that swine, and all the other laws they're breaking. You're walking by the living dead. Go ahead.
Malachi chapter 1, verse 13. He said also, behold, what awareness it is. And ye have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this at of your hand, said the Lord? Verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and boweth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen.
Why does he say his name is dreadful among the heathen, brother? My brother's reading real quick.
Yeah, I'm
when he talks about his name being dreadful among the heathen, everything we see in, I think it's Jeremiah 10, he says, have no way of the heathen. The heathen is going to cause you damnation. The heathen is following after their father, which we call Satan, the murderer from the beginning. So we don't want to have no thing amongst the heathen. Now, his name is dreadful amongst the heathen because we don't want to be separated from the Most High. And all the heathens are going to be separated from the Most High. They don't keep his time. They don't keep his laws. They don't keep none of his commandments. That's the reason why you can go on the TV right now on the Sabbath day, which is holy. As my brother said, Kodesh, set apart. You can see woman on woman, man on man. You can see all these abominations coming out and praying for you on a Sabbath day. Then when you turn on the TV on Sunday, they'll tell you, don't you keep that law. You only got to do is keep Jesus. So one hand on the Sabbath day, defile it with every image and every thought you can see. Then on the second hand, when you turn to the first day of the week, they tell you, don't keep it. It's all good for you. You stay in the same cycle of sin over and over because the only people that are preaching to you are the heathen. Who's supposed to preach to us, brother?
Nobody's supposed to preach to Israel but Israel.
Understand that. These laws, statutes, commandments were given to Israel. They weren't given to America. They weren't given to England. They weren't given to Pope John Paul I, II, III, or 89, whoever won. They got in business and power right now. They were given to Israel. So you searching this word out for someone other than Israel, you're already searching in the wrong place. Seek ye first the kingdom of Ahiah and all his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. And they'll be added unto you because you have to get from the word.
Yeah, because see, the master used to teach you when he was a slave, picking cotton. He was trying to reteach you your history, but it was never his history to reteach to you when he gave you Caesar Borgia, the sixth pope's son, and told you Christ looked like a hippie with blue eyes. Even with that, they changed the image, which was spoken of in Revelation, the first chapter.
They gave you a half man, half woman image to have people look at right now. If you look on the TV right now, you see half man, half woman, long hair, looking like that fruitcake they tell you to worship through all the time.
Yeah.
The same old
skipping through the day. Forget the part that he went in the temple and started beating people, whipping people, and turned over tables. They've given you a feminine image and told you, turn the other cheek, bow down to Master, and learn this book this way that we're teaching you right now. And that's why if you look at it, they got images. I saw a powerful image the other day. It was a painting of some slaves teaching the other slaves, but the slave plantation owner was sitting there in the congregation to make sure he didn't get out of line or preach outside the three sermons they were allowed to preach. It's going to get better. Turn the other cheek. And be forgiving.
Hey, some of y'all might get mad at me. I don't care. Hey, you look at that faggot that was on TV called Bruce Jenner. You put a beard on him, that's the same Christ that he prayed to. Ain't no different. Same old law, same old
look.
You just give him a little beard, that's the same one they going to teach you to go pray to. Or you better watch out with these Edomites these all trying to do to you now. They try to get you to worship this false god.
That's exactly why the last part. That's why we're dreadful among the heathen. There's not one man from the other nations that does not realize that they're going to have to pay for the egregious sins that they've done to Israel. The blood is on their hands, and they're afraid of the awakening. They are afraid of the awakening because it's going to be hell to pay when it comes to the God of Israel and having to answer to the God of Israel. Let me see that real quick. I don't know if I read this think I can pull it up. I don't know if I read this last week. Everybody going around here talking about no justice, no peace. And we have to realize that he is our habitation of justice, Most High. We won't know that justice until he returns. Let me see if I can pull this up before we get ready to go. Brother Ray, you got something else you want to say?
I was looking at the scripture that's in the Apocrypha where the heathens change their images. You remember what that's at? Yeah.
Oh, they would think to change the images where they painted the, over the images?
Yeah.
You find that in the book of Maccabees?
Yeah. Is it Maccabees 1? What, the first Maccabees 3?
Yeah.
Okay, 1 Maccabees 3, verse 48. And they laid open the book of the law, not their law, talking about our law. Everything that we read it into, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and sought to paint the likeness of their images. So the book in the Apocrypha that was in the 16, like our brother would say, the key comes in the volume of the book. We look at in 1 Maccabees 3, verse 48. When he talks about they're going to change our images for their likeness. That's the same reason why you have this homosexual Jesus they got putting up in that image. Because that's the heart image. That's not when he talks about Revelation and look upon him, look at Jasper Sardine stone. Again, that's the black jewel.
Right.
Because that in Revelation, that his feet are the same color, fine brass that were burnt in the furnace. We see in Ezekiel, the first chapter, where he talks about his loins from upward and downward as of amber. Again, not that old yellow amber. We look at that dark amber we have. So all those things from his toes up to his head is that of a picture of a thing we see of our brother Israel being a black man. But the image they give you as they paint their likenesses on it is that of a white man. You see a Moses. I mean, I don't know how many movies they made of Noah and Moses that they come across. You see a whole bunch of white boys running around saving who? Us, Israel? I haven't seen one yet. You got to understand that the reason why they took that out the book so you won't be able to read some of those things because that points to who you are, because the book tells you in Deuteronomy 28 that these curses are upon Israel. So these curses that we line up with matches Israel. Then the Maccabees tell you that, hey, while you are Israel, they're going to be looking to change your images to look like them. And again, that bears out more fruit of who the Most High is ordained as his people, who he loved and has an apple of his eye. So
yeah, Jeremiah 31:23 says, thus says the Most High, our power, the God of Israel. He said, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof when I shall bring again their captivity. They're going to use this speech once they're free. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice. The reason they're going to start to say the Lord is the habitation of justice because of what you see now. A bunch of Israelites, you know what I want to say, marching around singing, we shall overcome, no justice, no peace. But it tells you what's going to happen in future prophecy. They're going to realize that the only habitation of justice was in the Most High. He's coming back to avenge us. That's why these other nations are panicking. They are running out of time. We're almost at the end of the year, and there's so many false flag attacks that have been planned for America to get ready to destroy this part of Babylon. But don't think it's just over here, which is why your president is in Kenya, and then he's going elsewhere, and the Pope's coming to the White House. This is a universal threat. But let me explain something to you. Jeremiah 50:7. All that found them have devoured them. This means other nations towards Israel, they have devoured them. And their adversaries, talking about Israel, said, we offend not. Listen to what they're saying. We didn't do nothing wrong. And the reason they said that, they said because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord of their own hope and the Lord of their fathers. The other nations are saying in Jeremiah 50:7, we ain't doing nothing wrong, shooting down the streets, beating them, keeping these curses on them. They're the ones that offended the Most High.
the God of their fathers and walked away from their habitation of justice because they wanted to be like the Gentiles, the other nations. They didn't want to keep the laws. It's right here in Jeremiah 15:7. So they know that we are not in sync with the Most High, our power. This is what you must understand. And they say, we're doing nothing wrong. It's right here. Jeremiah 50:7, when you get a chance, read it. Innately, inherently, they know who we are. They know where we are through the study of DNA. All the samples they take, 4 and 5 vials of your blood, and when you just go for a checkup, you don't know where that blood is going. But they're examining who you are. It goes further than Mari Povich, you are not the father. No. They're trying to find out who's Israel and where you located because we've been scattered. So all praises to the Most High, another day that he's made. My brother has another verse before.
We're going to read one more thing. Again, we're in the Apocrypha. This will be, I'm going to let Sister Tamar read it. We're going to go first Maccabees. And I want you to put in the vision of where you live at in America right now when we read this. First Maccabees chapter 1, we're going to read from 41 to 49.
Verse 41. Moreover, King Anacus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. Verse 42. And everyone should leave his law. So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king. Verse 43. Ye, many also of the Israelites, consent to his religion and sacrifice unto idols and profane the Sabbath. He hath sent letters for the messenger unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, that they should follow the strange laws of the land. Verse 45. And forbid burnt offerings, sacrifice and drink offerings in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbath and festival days, and pollute the sanctuary and the holy people. Verse 47, set up altars and groves and chapels of idols and sacrifice swine flesh and unclean beasts.
Always got to throw that pork in there. Mm-hmm. Throwing pigs on the altar.
You know, we're coming down the street, so.
Yeah, we just passed the Baptist church. They get frying some pork in the parking lot.
Yeah. Okay. Cracking on the Sabbath.
Verse 48, that they should also leave their children uncircumcised and make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanness. Verse 49, to the end they might forget the law and change all the
earth. All is done so that the people will forget the law, so that they will forget the law. Start infusing. You had Antiochus, you had Herod, you had Constantine. All of these people started blending in paganism, bringing in Gentiles, bringing them into the temple, bringing swine in, and getting just slowly knowing that our forefathers began to adapt to what was being put before them by those in power.
I wanted you to see this, and the reason why I told you to think of America when our sister Tamar read this is because they said he sent out all these letters to Israel, to Judah, to let them know that we're only going to keep the king's law and we're going to turn back to his laws for what? For salvation, for guidance, for all these things. And we'll put up all these altars and we'll pollute our Sabbath day and we'll call to him. All right, the FDA is in place in America. They got President Obama telling you that gay marriage, homosexuality, sodomy is all right for the rule of the land. You got them telling you don't have to keep the Sabbath day anymore. It's a law in the American book. I hope you understand this. In 1951, there's a law that says that the first day of worship is Sunday. This is what the king has written out to the law of the land. You understand that Israel, our people are taking this law of the land over the laws of the Most High because they all 501c3 churches. They had agreed upon this with the same way they had it. They agreed it back right there in the Maccabees when they see the revolt and they fought against this stuff that was going on. This is what our brothers and sisters are consenting to right now. That's the reason why they'll say, okay, we can barbecue swine flesh in the place they call a temple that's supposed to be dedicated to the Most High. That's the reason why they'll put abominations inside of there. That's the reason why when we read the first thing of the sacrificial law and these oblations, that's so important that we understand we're still in the same covenant with Israel. The same people that he was talking to in the Maccabees is the same people that he's talking to now. We have to come out of her, our people. We have to turn back to his will and his way because his laws are also righteous. As again, we saw in Malachi. The first thing that he wrote to Malachi and our brother in chapter 1 was that his word, take on his burden. We see in Matthew that he said that his law is not a burden. His word is not a burden. It's an easy yoke for you to bear. The yoke that you are bearing in America is causing you to die. It's causing you cancer. It's causing you to wonder, you know, if your child at 15 years old can get out of his car, drive to another state, and come back a woman or a man. If you give birth to a little girl, she can come back with something between her legs. If you give birth to a boy, he can come back with breasts and another thing, and the government's going to pay for it. That's the same law of Antiochus. That's the same law that we have in America nowadays. We got to understand these laws are abominations to the Most High. And the reason why that my brother told you earlier that he comes in a volume of the book, these are one of the books they don't want you to read. These are one of the things that points out his law will give you salvation. And look at all these heathen, because that's what he just called them when we read. Look at all these heathen laws. So we got to come back to what he's talking about.
All praises. All praises to the Most High. That's for sure. Come back to the laws. Malachi, the first chapter. Israel, stay away from the border of wickedness. That's Esau. And he's cursed forever. Obadiah 1 and 10. And Malachi, I believe, 1:4-3 lets you know. If you cross over that border of wickedness, you are an illegal immigrant and you are slated for death or imprisonment. Stay away from the border of wickedness and come back to the border of righteousness, which is to the house of Jacob and Judah. All praises to the Most High. That's reading. Any other closing words you want to say?
Now, I'm just thankful for my brother D and Sister Tamara for sharing the breaking of the Sabbath with me yesterday and being with us on the Sabbath today. And all glory to the Most High, our Creator, our Highest, Shara Haya. I am that I am. And to all the people that spread out, you know, peace and shalom.
We'll be praying for you, brothers and sisters. Keep us in your prayers. We're meeting with another family down here. We'll be breaking bread, taking the Lord's Supper. You'll be in our thoughts. We are trying to cover some of these ordinances today, breaking the bread, baptism. And then, I don't know, we might go to the synagogue. I think what he saw down there. Go to see Brother Schultz. Pay me no mind. Y'all be encouraged. Be encouraged, every one of you that listens to this broadcast. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So I'm going to close out by saying what I always say. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Quam Yasha'Allah, that's rise, Israel. Shalom, Shabbat shalom.
Rockefeller. Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
To outer space to find Outer space to find another race.